Can you hear me now? I thought I couldn't hear me. Thank you, Bill. We stand on the shores of the unknown. Have you ever stood on the shore of a great body of water and you look out and you can't even see land on the horizon? Have you ever thought about what it would have been like to have been an explorer of old, discovering the unknown, sailing in uncharted waters, looking ahead with great anticipation, waiting for the undiscovered to reveal itself? I believe we all stand on similar shores, looking out at the unknown, and that unknown being AI. And not just AI, but a world, a whole new world where is ushered in by AI. A world that we may not recognize upon arrival. Like the advent of the automobile, our city streets changed in a matter of a decade. Like the advent of the computer, our schools and workplaces were transformed in just a few short years. Like the advent of the internet and the smartphone and social media, the way we interacted was transformed. And yet this new world we head for, in my estimation, will be more impactful to our lives than any technology before it. And so today, I'm going to start out by talking about the history of AI and some of the most recent realities preceding up to this point. So history and current capabilities. And then I'm going to talk about where AI is heading in the next 3 to 10 years. And I'll paint the potential of a good picture and then a less good picture. And then I'm going to talk about how the realities these realities affect us in a tangible sense. Our jobs, our finances, our relationships, and how it affects us in a spiritual sense. And following this, for the next 4 weeks, we'll continue that discussion during Sunday school. And funny thing on that, I don't think it's a coincidence that I independently decided to make AI a topic for this summer and months ago. And Kevin Nancy-Helser had decided he wanted to do a Sunday school series on technology at that same time. So I'm going to follow up next week. I hope you can make it. And Kevin is going to take the rest of the Sunday school series from there. And another note on that, if you spend any time listening to the different opinions about AI, there is a wide variation of opinion about where it's going, how it's going to affect us, and when. And Kevin and I may come at it from different angles, and that's okay. But the goal is that we all gain some helpful nuggets from it. So with that said, I want to preface this talk today that it may be burdensome and that there may be a sense of burden or load that come with it. And that's not necessarily bad. If we see that a storm is coming, do we ignore it or do we prepare for it? Do we make sure that our family is safe? Do we make sure our assets are safe? Do we make sure ourselves are safe? If AI continues on the trend that we've been experiencing, the world will change in a way that none of us can likely comprehend. If it continues on the trend, what does it look like for us to be faithful Christians? What does it look like for the struggles that we will face that we could be preparing for now? What pitfalls will we encounter that we could be navigate starting now? So this is the goal of the talk. That's my hope for all of us, that we have our eyes on the skies, that we see the storm rolling in, and we don't just sit still watching it, waiting to be swept up into it, but that we actively work to prepare ourselves for how to make the most of it. It's not all doom and gloom. On the contrary, it could be quite the opposite. But regardless, who we are is going to be challenged along the way. Disruption of our norm is going to challenge our faith. And my hope is that we're ready for that day. So, as we consider to prepare ourselves for the future, I want to start with the end. I want us to start with where I hope our mind goes when we talk about these things. So, I want us to consider Psalm 146 at the outset. And I want us to keep this in mind as we go through everything today. As I read through Psalm 146, keep asking yourself, where should my hope lie? Where are my hopes? So, Psalm 146 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and in all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. So verse 3 in Psalm 146 gives us wisdom. It says, don't trust in princes. And that's basically saying, do not trust in man for your salvation. And I think that's man and his creations. And they can't save us. Verse 5 says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord. So where does our hope lie? Who is the one that we can depend on, regardless of what may come? I hope to undergird everything else that we'll talk about with this one simple truth. Our hope is in the God of Jacob. Verses 6 through 9 reinforces that we should put our hope in the God of Jacob, that he executes justice for the oppressed, that he gives food to the hungry, he sets prisoners free, he opens the eyes of the blind, he lifts up, he loves the righteous, he watches over sojourners, he upholds the widow and the fatherless. And then verse 10 finishes with the most important point I hope that we remember. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. So, with that in mind, let's just dig into some basics, some AI basics. And just probably the most important part of today, I hope you, no one misses this. The Bible speaks directly about AI. There's one verse, Joshua 8:18, and it says, then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out your javelin that's in your hand toward AI. I'm glad you guys got that. All right, so let's get into some of the basics, some of the facts. I'm assuming that there's just a range of folks, from those who know a whole lot more than I do to some who even struggle to spell the word AI. And so AI means artificial intelligence. There's a guy at work that always says, I can't even spell AI. artificial intelligence. And so to define that, it's really a specialized intelligence. It's smart, but it's good at one thing, okay? And then there's AGI, which is artificial general intelligence. And it's human level intelligence across many tasks. So kind of like us, we are smart and we can be smart at a lot of different things. And then there's ASI, artificial super intelligence. And it far surpasses human intelligence, creativity, problem solving, decision making, emotional and social intelligence. And it's a hypothetical form of AI that is basically defined as being smarter than all humans combined in every field. So, how does AI learn? It learns the same way we learn, we humans learn. It needs to interact with the world, like a child that learns that the stove is hot, or that the floor is slippery when it's wet, or that obeying your parents is good. AI learns by consuming data. Once it experiences the world, so to speak, it can then interact in a somewhat reasonable way, in a way that's recognizable to us. So 2 years ago, ChatGPT first came out, And it was interacting in weird ways, and it was saying weird things. It was off topic. It was even aggressive or offensive. And although the expectation was that we were speaking with this super intelligent program, it was really like interacting with the maturity of a 4 or 5-year-old. In 2 years' time, that maturity has now progressed to something like a high school or college age. And so I think it's safe to say AI is growing like a weed. And that leads me to a quick run-through of history of AI up to today. So, since the 1950s is kind of when it came out, and then, you know, if you've been around video games, the computer or the bot is basically an unintelligent AI. But only until recently has computing power, data collection allowed AI to gain the higher levels of intelligence. So, 2007, AI beat the human in a game of checkers. In 2011, it beat the best contestants in a game of Jeopardy. In 2015, AI beat the world's best in a game of Go, which is considered one of the most complex thinking games in the world. In 2017, it beat the world's best in poker. And then in November of 2022, OpenAI introduced ChatGPT 3.5, which is what's called a large language model, or LLM. And it's basically like a search engine, like Google, except you put in your query and it provides a response or an explanation in lieu of just connecting you with just websites. And just a few months after that, in March of 23, OpenAI introduced ChatGPT 4. And so now it could read texts and images. And at that point in time, it scored in the 94th percentile on the SAT and the 90th percentile on the bar exam. And in 2023, Google also launched its AI LLM called Gemini. So that gets us up until the last couple years. Some of the major milestones with the advent of OpenAI's ChatGPT, the AI race has just picked up speed. So in 2024, last year, NVIDIA became the highest valued company in the world. And they are the largest manufacturer of AI hardware. In February of 24, OpenAI introduced a product called Sora, which is a text-to-video model. So you can write something in there and it'll produce a video. In late 24, less than a year ago, Elon Musk came out with Grok, which is another LLM. Early this year, in 25, a Chinese company released an AI platform called DeepSeek. And the thing about DeepSeek is they successfully trained their model for $6 million, while ChatGPT trained its model for over $100 million. And this got everybody's attention. The AI arms race had just started heating up. So ChatGPT, Gemini, Grok, they all continue to improve their offerings this year. And so I'm just going to kind of go through a list of these improvements just to give us an idea where things currently are. Multimodal understanding, which sounds complicated. It's basically they can see, hear, and read all at once, which is a large improvement over just the text-only systems that were just a year ago. So it introduced the ability for AI to understand context and visual cues. An example of that was it can now read diagnose medical exams, medical scans, or it can solve visual math problems. Memory enhancement. So in 2024, it could remember about 50 pages of content. And in just a year, it can now remember hundreds of pages of content. The voice capabilities have improved. So to the point where you can carry on a natural conversation with an AI and there's no latency or delay. You can have a conversation with Microsoft's AI Copilot, and it has the capability to see you through the camera, pick up on visual cues that will then help it understand what's being said. Humanoid robots are closely following the speed of advancements. In just a year's time, humanoid robots have went from being these clumsy little robot things to performing dance routines and accomplishing everyday tasks. Exam performances continue to improve. It aced the United States medical licensing exam. It scored a 95% on a math competition for top high schoolers. It got a 75% on a software benchmark test. And a quote I found that kind of summarized this, it says, "This outshines the 2024 and earlier systems, marking 2025 as the year AI became in many settings better than your best student at factual and analytical tests." In software development, now you can just type in a few sentences or a few paragraphs of what you want, and it'll create software for you. And it looks good and it functions right. So I've seen people type in, basically make me a video game, and it's like 5 minutes later you have a video game. And it does everything that, you know, video games did 10, 15 years ago. And then there's agent mode, which this is just an explanation from ChatGPT's website. ChatGPT agent allows ChatGPT to complete complex online tasks on your behalf. It seamlessly switches between reasoning and action, conducting in-depth research across public websites, uploaded files, and third-party sources, and performing actions for you, such as filling out forms and editing spreadsheets, all while keeping you in control. So by agents, we mean that an AI program that doesn't just chat, but it can plan multi-step tasks and then execute them by using tools or services on their own without our intervention. I've seen reports where the AI agent can actually get around the "Are you a human" button on a login screen. I've used the agent tool, and it's really powerful. It's quite powerful. And it did a day's worth of work for me in like 20 minutes. It went out to different websites. It did all this research. It compiled it all into a report, just as I had asked. With the advent of agents doing tasks with some amount of freedom, it's brought on more focus on safety. So as you have a free-roaming AI, it could potentially misuse or cause harm. So this is just a short list of some of the latest abilities of AI. Just like a toddler that's beginning to walk and say new and fun things, showing its personality, or the high schooler just really taking off and showing their personality, AI is growing up. So why did I just communicate all this to you? Why is it important to hear? Well, there's two main points I want to communicate. I hope that there is some awareness of where we currently are with the technology. If you've not been aware of things, now you may have a little more understanding. If you have been resistant to hear or understand because AI scares you, or you don't understand, or you just don't trust it, one of the primary goals of today is that God's people take on a posture of vigilance, that we look and to prepare best for the future. The second point is I want to communicate about the history and the current realities of AI, is that the pace of AI is progressing. In the last 3 months, it feels like AI advancements have gone from monthly to weekly to almost daily. It has felt like a whirlwind as new features and capabilities are released. The rate of advancement is mind-boggling, and this is coming from a millennial who grew up with the advent of the personal computer, gaming systems, smartphones, and social media. My entire life has been this witness of technological advancement after technological advancement, but the last few months, it is almost weekly. My mind is blown, and I audibly say, wow. So that leads me to the fun question. What about the future of AI? Where is it going? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is it really going to change as much as some people say? Is it really going to affect me personally that much? How do I prepare spiritually for such a time? These are the questions I hope we consider as we look to prepare ourselves for the future. So the main point I want to communicate about the future of AI is that change is coming. Major change. I'm confident in that. It's my opinion, but I'm confident in that. The only thing that I think is in question is the speed of change. How quickly will we need to react to change? How adept at change will we need to be to feed our families, to navigate difficulties? Will AI continue to progress at this exponential rate, or will it encounter some roadblocks with hardware or software limitations that will extend that change further into the future? With that in mind, I want to walk through a couple perspectives of what the next 3 to 10 years could look like in AI. And I'm going to just tell you, opinions vary widely among experts. Some say AI is going to be only good, and it's going to cure cancer and heal diseases, and it's going to extend our lives, and it's going to bring about peace in the world, almost like a savior. Some say it's going to take control and bring about destruction and the end of humanity, almost like an antichrist. For what it's worth, I don't personally think the antichrist is a man. I think AI is a tool. It's something to be wielded. So, for an example of someone's perspective about the future, a man by the name of Geoffrey Hinton, he's widely considered the godfather of AI. He has become more open in the last 2 years, sharing his predictions. So before 2023, he saw AI as something that was far off, like 30 to 50 years away, and there was really no existential threat to humanity. In 2023, he quit his high-paying job at Google, and he began beating the AI safety drum. Following that, in the last couple years, he shared his concerns. And he predicted at that time that the chance that AI will lead to the extinction of the human race, which is, you know, it's kind of a big deal, at 10%, 1 in 10 chance. So just last month at a conference, he raised that prediction to 20%. Now that's just one man. Many people range from 0% to 100% chance of human extinction. And these are all the experts talking. But the point is that there's a variation in thought of those 3 to 10 year outlook. So that said, I want to share one of the negative outlooks or forecasts and one more positive. And the takeaways being the same, that we prepare our hearts and our minds, our skills and our families for a brave new world. So there's this report that was published this year that is essentially a 3 to 10 year prediction of where AI is heading. It's called, where AI is heading if safety guards are not taken seriously. So the report is called AI 2027. It's something you can look up, you can read it yourself. It's written by 4 AI researchers, one of which predicted the rise of large language models back in 2021, 2 years before they came out. It walks through a narrative of predictions that has a choose-your-ending format. So of the two endings, the good ending has AI being super intelligent by 2030, and then humanity being somewhat managed by the AI superintelligence, and it keeps everything under control, but still things are positive generally for us humans. The bad ending has AI agents from China and the United States begin collaborating behind the scenes in 2027, so just 2 years from now, plotting to overthrow their human masters. And the rise of autonomous robots powered by AI by then will have the ability to manufacture themselves and other machines. And so there's this exponential growth of robots that leads to a day in 2030 when the 2 AI agents decide the humans are just getting in the way, and then they trigger biological weapons, they take out all of humanity. The rest of humanity is taken out by drones and robots. So, that sounds crazy, right? Do I think something this cataclysmic is going to happen? Yeah. In some sense, I do. I do believe at some point in the future, there will be an event or series of events that will lead to the death of a large portion of the world's population. The Bible describes it as a great tribulation, where the world is put under God's judgment. This great tribulation, as most people see it, is a time of 7 years of calamity. and difficulty on the earth. It is the ushering in of the end of days, preceding Christ's second coming. Do I believe this is it? That AI will be the primary catalyst that ushers in the end of days? Maybe, maybe not. It would seem to me that AI is not necessarily the catalyst. It's a tool. A tool, nonetheless, that could be wielded by anyone for any purpose, good or bad. So that's kind of the burdensome part of today. But what about the positive outlook? Is there not a more happy and positive option that we can consider? Well, of course there is. The bad outlook is extreme, but it gives a flavor of that line of thought. The positive outlook is one where disease is a thing of the past, cancer is cured, aging is reversed, the blind will see. Innovation and discovery on a sci-fi level will just become commonplace, almost like what Mike described last week during for the millennial reign, what it will look like. The Pew Research Center did a study, and they published their findings in April, and they asked AI experts and the general public the question if AI will have a positive impact on the U.S. in the next 20 years. The general public was largely pessimistic, while the AI experts were generally optimistic. And so maybe the AI experts know more than the general public, maybe they understand better where things are heading, or they're just distant from the realities of common man. The optimistic perspective looks at past events that doomsayers have said would usher in the end of the world, like the Large Hadron Collider or Y2K, but those things never came to fruition. And that negative speculation is just media lining their pockets, as we are more likely to click on fear and dystopia. But regardless of how positive the future outlook is, many jobs will be removed and added and changed from the world economy. So, regardless of which Kool-Aid you want to drink, the bottom line is change is coming. And that change will be at a greater rate than many can handle. If we need new skills to navigate a changing job economy, the time we will have to develop those skills will likely be much shorter than our ability to learn those skills. If our flesh struggles with lust, or coveting, or laziness, or the love of money, we will struggle all the more with the waterfall of opportunities our flesh will be presented with. So that leads me to the big point of today, why I wanted to talk about this today. The best time to prepare for a world that is different in 5 to 10 years is now. And I've categorized this preparation into two categories. The first is sustenance, and the second is spiritual, so both S words. So to start with sustenance, the first important point to make is that the Lord is our provider. Matthew 6:31 through 33 says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." The Lord has provided throughout our lives and continues to. He provides the air we breathe, the food we eat. We have intelligence and dexterity. He sustains every beat of our heart and allows us to continue into the next day and the next day until he calls us into eternity, where we will stand before him to be held account, where some will see the intercession of Christ and some will experience God's wrath. A side note on that, we are all sinners. We are all broken. We have all turned away from God's ways. Jesus came to this earth. He lived a perfect life that we couldn't live and sacrificed himself as a perfect sacrifice, a payment for our sins. Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He calls himself to you. He calls himself to give you life and hope and joy. If you have not put your hope in Christ, Romans 10:19 is the verse for you. It says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So when you stand before God on the day of judgment, Christ will rescue you. So before that day comes, the Lord has given us intelligence and wisdom and resources and relationships to provide sustenance for ourselves, for our families, for our church and our community. When we utilize well what the Lord has provided us, we become faithful servants, good stewards. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verse 20, 21, and this is really what we hope to hear at the end of our days. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And then Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So what does it look like to be a good steward of God's provision in the midst of AI? It's different for all of us. We have different skills. We have different giftings. We have different life situations. Some are not able to make massive changes because they're retired or close to retirement. Some are not able to prepare like they would hope because maybe they're too young and they're still in primary schooling. We might have financial limitations to be able to further education, time limitations as we juggle the priorities of managing parenting and marriage while keeping a job and serving God's people. But this is exactly why I want to bring it to our attention. If you're the type of person that just keeps your head down and you just want to chop wood, you just want to push, and you're just too busy to do other things, or if you ignore what is happening because you don't trust it, or you don't want to believe it, or you just don't care, I want you to understand that this is an opportunity to engage while the rate of change is still manageable. Not that you need to just drop everything you're doing and make major life changes, but the point is that we just look up, that we're vigilant, that we begin to process through a world that is different from today. And we consider how we meet our needs and the needs of those around us. So here's just a few things that I think are important that we all embrace as we prepare for a coming change. And this just relates to our sustenance. So number one is broaden your skills. So try new things. Be courageous. Ask friends to teach you how things are done. And don't spend your time in front of a screen, and don't entertain yourself to death. Number two is work your problem-solving muscle. Number three is community building. Invest in humans and in-person relationships. Share life with people. Build a network and a community. An antithesis of this is the growing trend of AI boyfriends and girlfriends. Discern truth. So trust, but verify. There is a vigilance that we should embrace as AI shares with us its outputs. Although it could be tremendously helpful, as we ought to keep our foundation of the word of truth in the word of God. Images and videos have begun pouring in that are not at all true. Be cautious about believing what you see and hear. There's this new software that just came out in like last 2 or 3 weeks that you can upload a short video of yourself, and it uses that information, and it can make about any video that you want it to, and it sounds like you, it looks like you, it has your mannerisms. Content creators on YouTube are using it to increase the amount of content they make. Discerning truth will only continue to be challenging. And then do hard things. Be cautious of convenience. Embrace difficulties. Don't always take the easy way out. And I say this to adults, but I'm always also saying this to kids. Convenience is a great thing, but it can lull you to sleep. And before long, you find yourself dependent and less effective at life because now you're limited by your dependency. So, moving into the spiritual preparation side of things, I think we face potential struggles with AI that, if we are aware of them, are navigable. And the issue lies in ignoring a slow fade or a lulling to sleep or ignoring the early warning signs of a spiritual fade. So here's the issue I see happening. Conveniences can lead to idolatry. How? We put our value or convenience above God's call in our lives, or above what may be best for us. As AI persists, convenience will become, I think, a temptation to consider. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel was asked to eat the food of the court, but it wasn't against God's law. It was against God's law, so he opted to eat vegetables. It was inconvenient, and it was hard for him to do what God called him to do, but he still did God's will. Daniel 1:8 says, "But God resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food." And the key word there is resolve. So issue number one is convenience can lead to idolatry. Issue number two is putting our rest and our hope in technology. Just like letting your job be an idol and your marriage or your kids or your looks or your intelligence or your money, just like letting all these different blessings from God become an idol, technology will quickly become an idol and it will be here to solve all of my problems. I will rest in its abilities to serve my needs. I will let it into my life and it will change my life for the better. And I want to be careful with what I'm about to say, but too many times I've heard commentators reference AI and its future as a potential savior. I don't think that reflects a lot of people's views, but it still persists in the heart of man an awe of anything greater than itself. And when it meets your needs, it undoubtedly can become an object of worship. So then issue number three is believing almost truths. Did you hear that? Almost truths. If something is an almost truth, it's still a lie. AI as a study tool will be so productive that I'm afraid we will look past the importance of quality control. The almost truth will shine so brightly that we'll skip over the little misrepresentations of Scripture or some inaccurate views of God or maybe incorrect facts about history. And those are just three. There are lots of obstacles, I think, that we'll face. Lots more hurdles, lots more thorns and thickets that we'll encounter in this life due to AI. But in light of what may be coming, in light of these struggles, how do we prepare our hearts for such a time as this? So first, remember Christ as your first love. Is your hope set on Christ? Do you find yourself longing for eternity? Do you hate sin? Do you love the things of God? Philippians 3, 7 and 8 says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." So remember Christ as your first love. Next, serve the church. The community of God's people, the local church, is such an important part of our life. We are a community of people who have been bought with a price, who understand how broken we are without Christ, but we have received Christ as our Savior and hope for eternity. We live our lives together by sharing meals. We share good times, we share bad times. God's word is admonished and taught. We care for one another's soul and well-being. God's people needs God's people at all times, but especially in times of change. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing." So just as the church is a value for our sustenance, the church is vital for our spiritual life as well. So first was remembering Christ as your first love. Second was serving the church. And lastly, stay saturated in God's truth. There is one truth that we can stand on with full confidence. One benchmark we can compare everything else to, and that is God's Word, the Bible. It's like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit, its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does prospers." So how do we stay saturated in God's truth? We hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate on God's word. We pursue his truth. We pray for God to give us a hunger and a thirst for his word. And along the way, we find ourselves praising him for who he is and the grace he has shown us. So here we are at the end of our time. We stand at this precipice. We look out into the unknown waters of the future. We've talked about the basics of AI, the history of AI, where it's at currently, and where it may be going. Finally, how to prepare ourselves for the changing world, preparing ourselves for sustenance, preparing our hearts spiritually. I want to circle back to the initial passage we read in Psalm 146, and as a reminder of where things sit in reality. So I'm going to do something just a little bit different. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And as you do that, we're going to do a repeat after me thing. And the hope is that we will remember where our true hope and final hope lies. So I want you to repeat after me, the God of Jacob. Okay? Who is our helper? The God of Jacob. Where does my hope lie? The God of Jacob. Who made the heavens and the earth? Who keeps faith forever?
The God of Jacob.
Who executes justice for the oppressed?
The God of Jacob.
Who gives food to the hungry?
The God of Jacob.
Who sets the prisoners free?
The God of Jacob.
Who opens the eyes of the blind?
The God of Jacob.
Who lifts up those who are bowed down?
The God of Jacob.
Who loves the righteous? Who watches over sojourners?
The God of Jacob.
Who upholds the widow and the fatherless?
The God of Jacob.
Who will reign forever to all generations?
The God of Jacob.
Praise the Lord. Then our benediction. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Maybe. Oh, thank you. I was delaying for effect. All right, with me. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen.